Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
I have a guy by the name of Patrick Myers is going to join me here in just a couple of minutes. He's the lead singer for a Queen tribute act, like one of the best on the planet, called Killer Queen. And they're coming to, it's a new venue, I think, called The Sovereign, which is, you know, kind of connected with the old Rock House, which is a great venue downtown. So Patrick's going to jump on here in just a couple of minutes. We're supposed to have John O'Leary at the bottom of the hour. I saw his movie Soul on Fire last night. Really, really good. And it's based on his life story, which we've shared a fair amount of times here on my show over the years, whether it was here or on KMOX. John's story in St. Louis has become legendary. He was burned because he was playing with gasoline and matches in his mom and dad's, his family's garage. It exploded into a terrible fire, which burned him on the majority of his body, and somehow he survived when he wasn't expected to. Went on to do amazing things and is on the speakers tour. It has a movie now, has written two bestsellers, but I will say this, he's on an airplane right now because he's in such high demand, and we're not exactly sure. Although, because John is such a good dude, and he really is, he has hooked us up with one of the co-stars in the film who plays his roommate, and I guess this is a St. Louis kid named Spencer Davis Milford. So if John's not here, I think we got Spencer at the bottom of the hour. And quite honestly, and for those of you who may have caught the film already, because there were a fair amount of word of mouth, they call them word of mouth screenings around St. Louis for the past couple of months, since it was something that was filmed locally, produced locally. Terry Schnook was a big, big, important part of this, not only writing some checks, but getting the tax credits from the state of Missouri, which made it possible for Soul on Fire to be filmed here. And so if we don't get John, we'll get Spencer on, who plays Mike Bright, John O'Leary's best friend and roommate. He plays a key role. What I was going to say is, if you've seen the movie, you will see that Spencer steals many scenes in the film. Let's see if Fred's got anything set up for Monday afternoon at this point. Boy, we'll have to see. Yeah, we got Josh Hammer, and he'll react to, by that time on Monday, we'll know, I think, that some of these hostages are being released. There are 20 who are still alive. 48 is the number that we're told that will be released to the Israelis, but most of those are dead, unfortunately. But the Nobel Prize came out this morning. President Trump wasn't really expected to get it because they voted on this thing on Monday. You know, there's all this, some of the stuff that you're going to see online. Like, I was paging through the X, formerly Twitter, at the top of the hour, and there's already sites out there saying Trump's all pissed off because he didn't win the Nobel Peace Prize. Look, I think Trump's pretty happy that he looks to have achieved something here that most people didn't think was possible. So let's see what happens with the release of the hostages. Again, I don't think the Nobel Committee was slighting him. Oh, don't get me wrong. They probably will slight him. But again, the Peace Prize was voted on earlier this week. And even saying that, let's say that you give him the Nobel Peace Prize and then Monday or Tuesday things fall apart in this, which is not altogether impossible. That doesn't look too good for the committee either. We also have an audio cut of the day coming up in just a little bit as well. But let's talk about Killer Queen here.
Me now. Don't stop.
This is one of the premier Queen tribute acts on the entire planet, and they're coming to a venue called The Sovereign, which is on Wash Avenue on Monday night. Patrick Myers is the lead singer. He's the founder of Killer Queen, and he joins us tonight on 97.1 FM Talk. Patrick, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, have you been here to St. Louis? Let's start with that. I'm guessing you guys may have been here before.
We've been here before, but this is the first time we played The Sovereign. So I think, is that a new venue there, I think?
It is a new venue. And actually, I was trying to do a little recon on it myself because I know the music venues here pretty well. There's a place called the Old Rock House, which is downtown. And I think it's the same owners, which is good because the Old Rock House is a really cool venue. And it's a little bit closer to where I am right now in downtown. It's on Washington. So folks from St. Louis will know that. But it's always kind of cool to explore a new venue, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to getting there.
So tell me how this all started. The backstory of Killer Queen is quite fascinating, and we go back like 30-something years here, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we ended up being sort of accidentally one of the first tribute bands on the planet. There's always been cover bands, but I guess the thing with a tribute band is you're putting on a big show, you know, with lots of lights and effects and different costumes, and you're trying to look and sound like the band so that, you know, it's more than just covering the songs. And we ended up being one of the first bands ever on the planet to do that. Just because we were there wasn't really a tribute scene when I first left home for London. I went to college and we just asked what music we liked. And Queen was a common denominator between everybody. And then a few weeks later, we got the news that Freddie had died. And we started, the reaction to that was us being in grief, but also singing the songs all the time. We just sang the songs all the time. And we started teaching each other the songs. And then we thought, because I was studying acting and stuff, there was one band that was dressing up as ABBA and pretending to be ABBA called Bjorn Again.
Yeah.
Who were brilliant. And I thought, okay, well, maybe we could just put on a concert for kids our age because we'd all just missed out on seeing Queen live. And you know, do it like Bjorn Again did it, but do it like, you know, in our way.
Right.
For Queen. So by the time we got that going, suddenly there was this massive tribute team that was just about to start and we were all fired up and ready to go. So we got this gig and it just took off. And we started getting offers from the West End, which is like Broadway,
right,
playing all the top clubs in London, like the Marquee and things like that, traveling all over the world and winning awards. And then ended up a few years down the road playing the same venues, the same arenas that Queen had filled with Freddie in their heyday. Which was just extraordinary. So we couldn't believe it. So from some college kids singing songs to each other in the laundry room of a halls of residence to playing the same arenas as Queen was just extraordinary. We just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's crazy. So when you were at university, as you say, across the pond, what were you studying then to become an actor? Is that what I heard you say?
Yeah. I was doing a drama degree and at London University. And I ended up, I did a little bit of, most of my adult life has been treading new boards, doing theatre, doing Killer Queen in theatres and things. So, I loved acting and it was why I went to London, but I'd always had rock and roll roots and I could never work out the best way of doing that because I wasn't a huge fan of musicals. I liked the odd one here and there. So musical theatre wasn't really my way forward. But I wanted to do rock and roll and I wanted to act at the same time. And this sort of,
yeah, you can do both.
Both boxes in a funny kind of way.
I think it does absolutely because those are big shoes to fill, you know, doing something as a tribute to Freddie Mercury, one of the most, you know, I think flamboyant and entertaining people that's ever been on a rock stage, right?
Yeah, he's very theatrical. He's full of drama and, you know, his sense of space and movement was fantastic. So, it's been a pleasure to do all these years. And we're looking forward to coming back to St. Louis and doing it all again for you and with our show that we've been touring around the whole world for all this time.
Well, it's Monday night at this new venue called The Sovereign. Killer Queen will be here. We have Patrick Myers on the horn with us tonight on 97.1 FM Talk. I watched some of the videos, and it seems like the person who is playing the character of Brian May is Brian May because he looks just like him, Patrick.
Yeah, well, we all try and sort of like look as closely like them as possible, myself included. So, that's the whole thing. We want to look and sound like them. We want to have the same atmosphere as Queen so that, you know, if you never saw Queen back in the heyday with Freddie, this would be the perfect ticket for you.
Yeah, you know, it's one of my big disappointments that I never did. And I saw a lot of, I came of age, you know, late 70s, early 80s with music, and Queen was always one of my favorites. I just never had the opportunity to see them, and it was one of my big regrets for sure.
Yeah. Well, me too. I mean, I was only 15, 14, I think, when they did their last tour, just about to turn 15. And I was too young. I even know how you get to London, you know, and do see a concert and get home again and all that stuff. And actually, it was just beyond me. And we didn't go to concerts like that as a family, you know. So I thought, okay, well, they'll tour again, and then they'll probably be maybe 2 years, 1 year, 2 years, something. Three. I'll just be that bit older, and I'll know to have saved up in time so I can get, so I can do this. And of course, they never toured again, you know. So they hardly toured America. They didn't tour America at all after the early 80s. So there was even less chance in America to see them. So yeah, I know. That's why we put on the concert for ourselves, you know, because we'd never seen Queen. And at the time, we thought Queen were never going to tour again. Of course, they do tour again now with Adam Lambert, and it's amazing. But, you know, the Queen with Freddie was something that was an eternal regret, but there's nothing you can do about it. But if you want to go out and have a great time with a band that looks and sounds like them on stage, and, you know, then Killer Queen's the one for you, because that's why we're here.
Patrick, what are your biggest challenges on songs with trying to sound like Freddie? Are there songs in particular that stand out as being a little bit more difficult than others?
I mean, generally, you have to sort of get your voice in a certain place to try and sing like Freddie. And then you apply that to each song, you know. So really, you know, you've got to, you know, do a lot of vocal building exercises and strength building exercises on your voice. Look after your voice. You know, songs like Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, that's a challenge. Show Must Go On is
yes,
a challenge.
It would be.
They've all got a challenging element to them as songs, you know. But they're also such fun to play, you know, because they're so well written. There's so much musicality in them. There's so many different dynamics and twists and turns. They're not straightforward as songs. They're very original songs, and they stand the test of time. That's why people love them all these years later. And we get whole generations, people bringing their whole families to the concert.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And having a great time as a family, you know. So it's, you know, the kids, the parents, and their grandparents, you know, turn up, and that's brilliant to see. That's great.
Yeah, no, that's fun,
really. And so that's what we like, you know.
I think I was 11 or 12 years old when We Will Rock You came out, and I have a 10-year-old daughter. I have some older children as well, and I can't really account for their musical taste, but I have some hope. Patrick, with my daughter. And, you know, it's interesting. She's learned a lot of music from movies like Pitch Perfect and, you know, movies that feature music. But she, you know, she's kind of, I've caught her singing along a little bit to We Will Rock You. And it's just funny because, again, I was like at that same exact age when I started listening to Queen a little bit more seriously. So it's fun. And I get what you're saying about the generations. These are songs that are so, you know, generationally friendly, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. They really, they break down the sort of the barriers of any time or specific, you know, sort of era. And they just, you know, when people discover Queen in, you know, often kids are sort of between, I don't know, 10 and 13, 14 when they discover Queen. And it's perfect because there's so much music to sort of discover. There's so many great albums, so many extraordinary hits and so many amazing deep cuts. But it's just, and they're so, you know, particularly things like the movie, Bohemian Rhapsody, you can look at the legend of Queen as well as the music, you know, and that really helps.
I'm like the outlier on that movie. I didn't like it at all. And, you know, and I love Queen. I just, there was something about the tone of it. Plus they got some of the, you know, I know that they take dramatic license, but to me, they put some things out of order. And but again, I'm the outlier. 95% of people love the movie. I was the only one who didn't.
There's one particular thing with the Now I'm Here and Fat Bottom Girls. I did them the wrong way around.
Yes.
I didn't see many dramatic reason to do that. Because Now I'm Here was all about touring America for the first time, and that was shot in. But instead of that, they put Fat Bottom Girls, which was, you know, I think they did it because that was, it was supposed to contrast Brady discovering, you know, different things about himself while he was on the road. But I think that you could have done that anyway. You know, you didn't need to underline it with a song. Dramatically, I think I agree. There are a few things in the film that that just puzzles me, and I still don't understand this day. You know, even using the thing of dramatic license, I still don't understand why they did it that way. But I think making a movie is a phenomenally hard thing to do.
It is.
And you're doing it as a committee.
And again, you know, most people,
so
like,
I'm not sure.
The more casual fans loved it. Every time I bring it up to someone, they're like, ah, I love that movie. I'm like, okay, but I'm
and
a little.
Also, you know, and Rami won an Oscar, so it's all great.
Yeah.
And it brought a lot of young fans to the shows. So I'm always going to be grateful to it for that. But yeah, it was in some respects, I still, you know, but you, I think it was a difficult film to make in lots of ways in terms of the directorial process and all those sorts of stuff. So I'm glad it got out there in the end because, it was so successful, you know, because, you know, you want your band to be successful. You know, you want Queen, as I'm talking about, rather
than
my own band. You want the band from your youth to do well, you know. So I'm glad they did, you know.
Killer Queen is the name of your band. You're coming to St. Louis Monday night at this club called The Sovereign. We are going to welcome you here to St. Louis with some beautiful fall weather, Patrick, by the way. It's finally turned. It's going to be gorgeous next week. So enjoy your stay in St. Louis.
Excellent.
Good luck with the show on Monday night. And thanks so much for joining me here on 97.1 FM Talk. I really appreciate it.
Hey, it's been a pleasure.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.